The New Testament reading is from the book of 2 Corinthians, Old Testament reading, sorry, chapter 5, verses beginning from 16 to 21. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God is reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Would you please stand for the gospel reading? The Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 1, beginning from verse 43 to verse 51. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under that fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is the Gospel of Christ.
Good morning, all. I'll ask if you're a young adult, please watch my back. I hope there are no buckets of water around. So I have a story to tell you. I'll make it quite short. So it starts like this and it goes like that. So I had a friend, and this friend was called Gideon. And Gideon loved ministry, but his father didn't relate to him very well. His father wanted Gideon to be a doctor. And to Gideon's heart, where his heart was not in medicine. So the father was like, "You have to do medicine," because he had this medical center that he was heading, and he wanted Gideon to take over. So he pushed Gideon to do medicine, and Gideon did it. He went to school, 6 years, did medicine. After 6 years, what Gideon did is he went to his father. And actually, during these 6 years, what his father used to do, he used to give him a lot of pocket money. So Gideon had this pocket money that was so much that his dad would always give him a lot because he was doing what the dad wanted. Now, at this particular time, after finishing, he graduated with second class honors, upper division. He studied so well and passed. He went home. with the certificate, wearing their graduation gown, and all this, and told his dad, "Here is your certificate." And he reached out to the bag and said, "And here is the money you used to give me. And now I'm off to do what I wanted to do." Gideon's father didn't relate with him well enough to see his passion. Gideon's passion was in music and ministry. If he had opened his eyes very well, he would have seen where Gideon was heading to. He would have directed him to the right place if he only related much better with him. My name is Jimmy Maithia. I'm the young adults pastor in this church. We are in a series called Jesus Funnel, and we are on week 4. We are going through a study as a church called the Redemptive Family through this period of Lent. 2 weeks ago, we had Emily speak to us. She spoke to us about the Jesus Funnel. And she spoke to us about how we are to play a part in this family, as it also does the same to us. Last week, we were spoken to by Andrew Durrance, who spoke to us about funnel and community, and spoke about the 5 spheres of influence that God calls us to be faithful in. That is family, church, neighbors, work, and social places. The places we play sports, the places we hang out, all those places. Today we look at building funnel relationship. And today I'm talking to you about how to build a relationship, a family relationship. I'm not a very good expert in this, but I will try. And I know the Lord will help me. Allow me to submit these 3 ways for your consideration. The first way of building a relationship is that you have to value the relationship. You have to value the relationship. And I have a question for you. Did we value Jesus? Did we add value to Jesus, or did he add value to us? Did we add value to Jesus, or did he add value to us? Do we add value to Jesus, or does he add value to us? This is a big question, because when Christ died on the cross for our sins, one thing happened, which was important for us to know, as we read from 2 Corinthians. It says in verse 16, "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view." We regard no one from a worldly point of view, says Paul. "Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer." What was Paul talking about here? Paul is this person who was a persecutor. Paul's value before he met Christ was somebody who killed. He had no remorse. If Paul was to walk in through this door, being the past person, he was not the person we have read about in the Bible, the former, we would be running. Not through that door, but any other door that you can find. He had no remorse. His value was in the fact that he hated Christians and he was out there to make sure that it won't get life. His value even to his bosses was what he did. His workmates even feared him. He says that I am a legalistic. He followed the law to the letter. He followed even his orders to the letter, and he found value in it. But alas, Paul on the way to Damascus meets Jesus, and the Lord makes him blind. Can you imagine? He was this guy who was looking for people who are Christians to persecute. But at this particular moment, he is blind. Who can help him? He is sent to somebody who is a believer, who is a Christian, to give him sight. Value of the world and now value in Christ. After he becomes blind to the world, he gains vision in the things of God. He gains value in God. Paul becomes the opposite. He starts preaching about Christ. The risen Christ, the Christ who gives us life. He adds value to other people, Timothy and all these people. Let me ask you something. What value do we give to our friends? What is it that you can never give to your friend that is of great value? My friend Gideon was given education and money. It was not of value to him by his greatest supporter, his dad. He needed something more. He needed his dad to learn something more. You see, when we value people, something new starts to happen in them. When Paul met Christ, something new started happening in him. God values you and me. What is our duty in relationship? To value others. It says in the Word that I am a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. What is this new that has come? It says that you will receive the Holy Spirit of God. That is what is of value inside you. And God is not selfish. He's saying you need to share it. You have something of value, you need to share it in relating to Him, in relating to others. Some of our relationships, people value Facebook, social media. You know, most of the people look at Facebook and that's when they know how much value they have, when you look at how many people liked your photo. And this is a photo that you had to really pose for like 20 times. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, this side. And to choose the best out of it. Then you're always looking at your phone to check how many people have liked. If you get 2, do you feel that your value is only 2%? If you get 20, is your value 20%? We need to change the value of who we are. Understand what is inside you so that you can know how to value yourself. When you value yourself, you will value the relationship with somebody else. Christ valued you more than anything, that he gave his life on the cross for us. It says in the Bible, do nothing out of selfish ambition, but in humility. Humility, consider others better than yourselves. Valuing others means having humility and considering others better than yourself. If you are to build family, funnel, relationship, you have to be the servant. They have to be the master. If we are to go outside of this church, the community needs to notice we are the servants, they are the masters. Because our big master has told us, go ye and serve. That is all we've been told to do. Not go ye be boss, go ye and be the least. For the least shall become the most. How do we value? By being nothing, taking the role of a servant, by being obedient to the call. Value, if you value something, you be obedient to what it is. If you value somebody, if you value your wife, you be obedient to what she says. Not all the time, but you will value what she says. not in ideas of cars. I know with the cars she might be very wrong, but you will value what she tells you. You will be obedient to what she tells you. Same to the husband, same to the wife. How do we build relationships? After we value our friends, after we receive this value and start valuing our friends, we start investing. We start investing in our friend, in our relationship. Let's look at Jesus calling Philip. Now, Jesus is this cool guy who, when he enters here, will just say, "Hey, guys, follow me." And what will we do? We will just follow him. Sure, yeah? So this was Jesus. He was with Philip and says, "Philip, follow me. Come, follow me." And Philip, blind as he was, wearing shades and everything, followed who? Christ. No. He thought like, I have a friend, Nathaniel. And he goes and meets Nathaniel and tells Nathaniel, "Hey, we have found the one." Why does he go to him to tell him that we've found the one? Christ has told him, "Come, follow me." That is an invitation to investing. He decides, "No, I am not coming along. I am going to call somebody who I value to come along with me. I need also you to invest in him." He goes to Nathaniel, and Nathaniel says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" "Oh, yes, something good, something better can come out of Nazareth." He meets Jesus, and Jesus tells him, "I saw you at the tree." Jesus had already seen him. He had already thought about a value of relationship, that person is of value. Whenever you meet somebody, how do we value them? By the way they look, what they drive, how they speak, what they've studied, where they live, how many likes they have on social media, how they can be of benefit to you. But do we truly want that? Who do you really want to invest in you? You want the person who you want to invest in you is somebody who loves you for who you really are. Christ loved us for who we just were. Nothing else. Follow me, come, an invitation. Follow me, saying, "I want to be vulnerable to you." You see, investing in other people means that I need to open up the doors to my house, invite people in. I need to walk with my friends, give them time, invest in time. You might have something to do, but you will need to invest in your friends' time of need. It's not only in the good times, but in the bad times. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new investment. The old has gone, the new has come. The new investment that you're working with is the Holy Spirit. You're investing in other people's life. We as a church, we say we are going out and we say to see Jesus known and make and see lives transformed. Make Jesus known and see life transformed. Make Jesus known, not by talking, but it's the way we act. It's not about the words. It's how you act. And then what's the last part? And see lives transformed. It is not your doing. It's going to be his doing. Because of what he's invests in you. The spirit that is inside you, if it values people, it will invest in them. That is only in the spiritual. That when I meet you, and if I totally love you naturally, And with the honest and sincere heart, my spirit will start wanting to invest in you. I have given it that space to do what? To invest in you. If you buy a land and you build a house halfway, and I come, build a house halfway, somebody else halfway, another person comes, builds his own house halfway, and we build around a lot of houses. Like, imagine Hillsborough had all the houses were done halfway. It's a prime land. It's in Auckland. But does it gain value or lose value? Because it will lose value, one, because nobody wants to come to build a nice house next to unfinished houses, unfinished roads. It will lose value. So if you want to make a certain area become of value, you have to complete and invest in those places to completion. Christ valued us, invested in us to completion. He said his love is complete. We need nothing else. When we go out, we are to invest, value others, invest in them fully without judging, fully loving, fully accountable to the one who has called us. When you invest in your relationship with God, your value goes up. And as you invest your life into others, so does their value start going up. And so does the value of the church go up. Finally, how do we build family relationships? The last one is in 2 Corinthians. It says that we are called to a ministry of reconciliation. All this is from God. We are who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us ministry, the ministry of reconciliation. You have been called to reconcile those who are heartbroken, to reconcile brother and sister, father and mother, friends. When we go outside there, we are reconciling people to a spirit that is opposite to that of the world. It is opposite from the one that you received when you accepted Christ in your heart. You're going out saying, I want to reconcile you to the love of the Father. And it only happens when you value other people, when you're ready to invest in them. The whole reason for God sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die was to reconcile him to us. At the end of the day, you are ambassadors. We are ambassadors of Christ. What is our duty? To reconcile others to Christ. That is the whole duty of man. The whole duty of relationship. The whole duty of you, of even marriage, is to reconcile your wife to who? To Christ. To reconcile your husband to Christ. To reconcile your children to Christ. Your relatives to Christ. It's the whole business of Christianity. Are you loving? Are you forgiving? Are you authentic? Are you real? Because people, let's be real. You know when somebody is not real with you. You know what is fake. You can just see it on the face. You can see when it's fake, when you're hurting and you're trying to put a picture. Christ didn't put a fake face. He was real even to the point of death. When he was afraid to be crucified, he showed it to his disciples, who knew he was powerful, but saw fear in him. He was relevant. He was authentic. He was real. Christ is calling us to be that real in our relationships. Don't put a facade. I hurt. I cry. I pain. But I am loved. I am reconciled. I am of value. There's an investment in me. Our simple duty is to go out, make Jesus known, and see lives transformed. I want to conclude with this statement. It's an African statement. It says, it's a Kenyan statement, actually. It's a quote. That you can lie about the spirit that you have, but the spirit won't lie about who you are. When my grandfather was about to die, he told me that. Remember, you can lie about the spirit that you have, but the spirit won't lie about who you are. His point was, always allow the spirit to shine out who you are, who you really are. Because in so doing, you will reconcile people, friends, family to God. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for relationships. Thank you for dying on the cross for us. It was not an easy place. It was not easy for you. But you loved us so much that you were willing, Lord, to invest into our lives by dying on the cross. That you loved us so much, that you valued us so much, that you left heaven, came to earth, and were put on a cross. And it did not end there. You valued us so much that you invested your blood into our lives, Lord Almighty. That blood we shed on that cross is what we cry out now for. And it's what washed away our sins. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for that. Lord Jesus, thank you for reconciling us to the family of God. Lord, we ask that you teach us to relate to that family, that we will value others just as you valued us, that we will invest in others as you continue investing in us. And Heavenly Father, that you will reconcile us in places that we might have issues, Lord, with other people, where we might find people also who are not in good terms. The Lord Almighty, you will use us to reconcile them. Let your spirit be known in our lives, in each and every area that we participate to meet others. Spirit of God, settle in our hearts. Let your truth be truth to us. Let us see your power and receive it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.